You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Science has a language. And what is the language of science? It's math. Therefore, what is math? Well, math is numbers. And as you are about to find out, astrology and numerology are all about numbers too. Stanley, known as a mathematical genius, has developed the ESP code based on your personal numbers to not only direct you in your life to your purpose and mission, it allows you to use the law of attraction through math. Join us for a lively discussion every Thursday night, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, where you can ask your question based on the scientific formula of math. Visit loaradionetwork.com/Stan-Lee for his live show information. And now, live from Australia, here is Mr. Stan Lee, the mathematical alchemist.
Greetings, everyone. The ESP Code Numerology Show with Stan Lee, the mathematical alchemist. Today is the 26th of May, 2021. It's a very powerful full moon as well here in Sydney, Australia. It's about 8:12 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. And I have with me Catherine Chrisman, a fellow person from Sydney. Catherine, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Excellent. Catherine is a startup entrepreneur, a celebrant, and a wellness and spiritual expert. So Catherine has a very diverse range stemming from both religion and spirituality. And if you know my prior videos, I say they go hand in hand. But Catherine, can you tell us a little bit about your past and where you are now?
Mm-hmm. So I moved to Australia 22 years ago. Prior to that, I was a minister in the Christian religion in the United States, in the South AD United States. And the very long journey that I've had has been from being a clergy person and a hospital chaplain for a number of years in America to emigrating to Australia and really going through a transformation in how I understand spirit and us being a spirit in a body. And lots of study in comparative religion, as many of us have done, as well as psychology. And now I am a results coach with a focus on spirituality and how people get connected to their version of spirituality, how they articulate it for themselves, how they begin to deepen their connections with what I call our inner being, our inner wisdom, our intuition, and that sort of thing. And some people say, are you a Christian anymore? And I say, not in the traditional sense. I don't go to church anymore. I am a member of a Unitarian Universalist group in Australia. And that's more just being around like-minded people. But I have always been passionate about helping people get connected to who they are, who they really are on this planet, and what their purpose is in being here. And used to be in the context of religion or the language of religion, and now it's in the language of spirituality, what I call spirituality.
So being a clergy, you also studied, if I recall in our prior conversation a few months back, both Greek, Hebrew, and a little bit of the Aramaic. And so being a clergy, can you explain to the listeners, like, you understand very intellectually and thorough the Christian teachings from the Bible, for example, with the Old Testament and New Testament. Did you find any parallels with that in spirituality?
Oh, for sure. So I think some of it, I think, is just vocabulary. Religion to me is the way we organize our stories, our traditions, our beliefs around everything, how the world got created, who we are, who God is, what God is, how humans are meant to relate to one another, what we're doing here. Religion does that in defined ways with specific purposes. Spirituality is one way of describing it, is a personal, individual experience of the other, the divine, the oneness. And in what I love about the Christian Bible is the same thing that I love about all wisdom traditions and all scriptures, is that the same message is there. It's been told through the voice and the culture of the people that were telling the story at the time. And so we're now, I believe, in an age where all of us, each of us, is called to know that for ourselves and to bring our own unique expression of that into the universe. So,
Beautifully said. And I especially agree in terms of, you know, knowing ourselves deeper, our purpose in life. Because, like I've spoken many years ago, like I say, as I said, religion and spiritual go hand in hand, just like science. And I say that astrology is the science of God, mathematics is the language of God, and numerology is the code of God. And if we look at all scriptures, then they're numbered. If we look at verses, and say for the Bible, it's like, say, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. It's sort of coded. There are nuggets in there, and you mentioned stories. Stories are powerful because we interpret through stories. Mm. And unfortunately, subconsciously, sometimes we may interpret wrongly through, you know, through music, from movies, for the radio, for the internet, if you will, because people lose that link within, I feel. Mm. And because this is very important for the listeners and viewers, you were a clergy, so, you know, you've seen things within certain things in religion, because I've spoken very clear in this, and when someone is just one-sided in one certain thing, they can become a little bit too one-sided in the brain, which I turn fanatical, which then turns, say, hypocritical, for example. That's how I say in my videos in prior. I strongly believe all prayers in all religions have a profound effect on a person, because it's a frequency, it's an energy when they're saying something. And if someone believes in one element of that scripture or that religion, that's a good thing, because you can have healings. But it doesn't necessarily mean this religion is better than this one, because I had this healing and someone didn't get it there. Mm. So you mentioned they all have the same sort of story if you look at it. Mm. And there are nuggets there. So it's very important, because people don't quite understand that the earth, when I've spoken about this in 1 in 6,000 year event, spirituality, people have free will to ascend, and people are stuck, I believe, Catherine, in fear, anxiety, greed, indecision, the money side, the jealousy side. Instead of looking within, they don't quite understand how the energies are working, and they're starting to have more of those fears. So what they do is they resort, unfortunately, to the control of the religion, to plant guilt and fear in people to control, which is not what the scriptures taught. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yes. My take on that is that from the inside is nobody goes to lead in a church or a temple or a synagogue or a mosque intending to control people. There are very strong measures in most seminary and training facilities to weed out those people and to make sure that the people that are there for love of the tradition and serve and to be in service to people, to be ministers and to care for people. However, built into the very fabric of the education is a journey where you learn the depth of that religion in a way that lay people don't. And then there, for me anyway, there was some instruction of you need to be careful of what you tell your congregation, because they haven't been on the journey that you've been on. And so you have some access to information that they don't have access to. And you can't just drop somebody into a new framework, a new way of thinking. Out of the blue, you need to build people up and take them along on the journey with you. I think that what is why we're seeing decline in religions across the world and why we're seeing a rise in spirituality. We were predicting that in the 90s, we could see what was happening, is our institutions are no longer matching our cultures, and they're no longer matching the needs of society. They've kind of frozen in place. The religious institutions that are thriving are changing and adapting to meet the needs of where people are now. But overall, people are, fixed stories of one way is the right way. That time is, as you say, the epic has changed. We're in a new era now. And to me, we haven't lost anything. We're just still growing. This is all evolution. So I bring all of my Christianity with me, but I'm not bound and tied by it anymore. So some of the cultural pieces of religion, they drop away. But I work very heavily with the law of attraction. And in the law of attraction, Jesus is one of the best teachers of that to me. And Buddha is an excellent teacher of the law of attraction. And it's, that's not a popular thing to say. If you're a Christian, you don't then say, oh, well, Jesus taught the law of attraction. But all we have to do is look at Reverend Michael Beckwith's Agape community in California to see, yeah, you can. You can hold those traditions together because the essence, the core of it, the love frequency, the energy of joy and empowerment, knowing, appreciation, all at that same frequency. That's ultimately the message of Jesus.
Obviously, because I speak about the law of attraction at a different level with how I see synchronicities with numbers. That's the gift that I've been given. And when channeling, but it's very important because, we know some of the simple things like Jesus says, ask and it is given, and faith, you can move a mountain, for example.
Yes.
I mean, and these scriptures are in the other ancient texts, whether it be from the Vedas. You know, the Vedas have got some beautiful texts with the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita, for example, and it's stories. And from Egypt and from Buddha, these are things that spirituality and truth, there's nuggets within there when we look within and we see how we're meant to maneuver, I believe. And it's very important because your background, seeing what you've seen and transitioned, if you will, into what you're doing, but you're still bringing forth beliefs, but you're doing it in a lovable way, intellectual way, I believe, because I know your code, which we'll go through with the viewers. And more importantly, you were a clergy and you've seen things that may have contradicted even what the teachings of the Bible were saying or the teachings of Jesus, for example. And if we look at history, history leaves clues. And like I see synchronicities. And like, for example, I go to get here in somewhere in local in Sydney, I just go to get a suit just tailored and I speak to a lady and she's Afghanistan. And she had to flee, and she loves her Muslim religion, but she studied from the old school Muslim in terms of say a Christian would see it from the words pop out. The same thing with the Quran, the words pop out, not someone's footnotes, just seeing the words. And she's a physicist and a mathematician, but she was here doing some clothing business because she had to flee. And I had done a little bit of research in terms of Jesus, Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary in terms of having to flee Israel, for example. But then I hear this lady saying that she loves Mother Mary. They love Mother Mary. So you have to take a look at no blindfolds, no ego, just to see. I've researched this story, and they talk about a bee called the Mother Mary Bee, Murray Bee in Afghanistan, named after Mother Mary. And you start seeing syncretisms. And then I meet this total stranger. We start talking about religion, but more at a spiritual level. And she was open. I was open. It was fun. She goes, "Oh, I love Mother Mary," and it just takes you to think why we're not taught this, do you know? But they're the synchronicities, like you talk, the law of attraction, the source, the creator, God will give us signs. When you're seeking, you get the signs. When we're seeking, we get the law of attraction come to us to give us that Picasso to mold our journey. What I call your numbers, your journey, for example. Have you had experiences like that yourself?
Oh, sure, sure. Many. And the last congregation I served in North Carolina, in the U.S., I had kind of a joking argument with one of my Bible study classes about my perspective that we were meant to be like Jesus. We were meant to do what he did. He said, I know it's really hard for you to understand these things right now, but truly I say to you, you will do the things that I have done and even greater things. That's what he came to teach. And my class would say, nah, we can't do the things that he did. And I think it's the greatest clash between religion and other is that debate of, is God an entity existing in and of itself, or are we all a part of God? Is God the totality of the universe? Is God source energy, of which we are all representations of? And not only human beings, but all plants and all animals and all living things are a part of the one. And the Eastern religions do that so much better than the Western religions. That's, they teach what it means that we are all one. And it took me probably 25 years to break through my conditioning of separateness. God is one thing and I'm another thing, and I can have a piece of God in me and I can be empowered by God, but I can't be God. And that's blasphemy in all the world religions. If you want to claim that you are God, well, it's blasphemy. And it's such a sad thing, because it's a misunderstanding, as Abraham says through the teacher Esther Hicks, that that it's a false premise, that if we say we are God, we're not setting ourselves up as a God to be worshipped. We're acknowledging that we are all part of the same source energy, and that we're just God's body, God's voice, God's eyes. We have the physical senses to express the energy of God. And where I come from originally, that was blasphemy. Now I help people to claim that for themselves and understand that for themselves, because it's, you know, that thing of when, you know, everybody's human and we all have our different shells and our demographics, I call them, male and female, colors of our skin, types of cultures, ages, abilities. But when we cut, we all bleed red. We've all heard that. There's also something really fascinating always to me, is somehow we all kind of can understand love in a similar way, and pain in a similar way, sorrow. Feels, we can feel that regardless of our demographics. We share this kind of understanding of emotions. We might use different words for them. We might use different intensities for them. But emotions are our guidance system, as Abraham through Esther Hicks teaches us. And that is a commonality of who we are as human beings. And our emotions are one of our strongest indicators of when we are in alignment with that energy. And somewhere along the track, we got the message that we weren't supposed to be happy all the time, that there was a time and a season for everything. Well, that's true. There never was it said that we needed to spend as much time in sorrow as we needed to spend in joy. And in fact, most of the teachers that we have, that coming from religious traditions or not, Eckhart Tolle, Carolyn Mace, Neil Donald Walsh, Greg Braden, Bruce Lipton, is all of these teachers are all coming at this same story that is in all the world religions, in all the world scriptures and philosophies, that same message that really this is all God having an experience of itself, and we are a part of that. And totally, let me just step down off out of the pulpit now.
No, it was beautifully said. I totally agree. And that God source is what I say in CCC, collective cosmic consciousness. Mm. And that's where true singularity comes in. not artificial intelligence and what have you, but true singularity. See, I've been a truth seeker and in conspiracy theories down the rabbit hole for 21 years, but because I have the ability to cross-reference, validate syncretism, I understand how to see truths, hard truths, and that takes from hard work on seeking. Jesus worked hard on his spirituality. He learned things. You know, he learned with Mary Magdalene. People have to seek truth here and understand. And you also mentioned the masculine and feminine, just like in our sun and moon number. All the ancient scriptures, whether it be religious, metaphysical, spiritual, they all looked up to the stars. And the sun and moon emit a frequency like a transmitter or receiver, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we can go through your ESP code, your essence, soul, and purpose code as well, Catherine. So can you tell the viewers your date of birth? Just need that and I can go for your four-numbered code.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the 6th of April, 1969.
So the 6th of April, if you add the day and month of the sun and the moon, just in a simplistic, because astrology is beautiful, complex science, but we're talking simple here. 6 plus 4 being April is 10. 1 plus 0 is 1. So your identity is a 1. So you're a leader. You like creativity. You like your solitude time as well. You and I talking form a 3 because I'm a number 2. So our energy is a 3. So that's got to do with astrology. It's fun, marketing, it's teaching, it's learning. It's a positive on like what you also mentioned in times and seasons just before. And it's beautifully said, that's cycles. Everything is cyclical. So we go through a biorhythm on the sine wave, if you will. So your first numbers are 1. Your Mercury to Pluto, in its simplistic, is 1 plus 9 plus 6 plus 9 in your year of birth. And when you add that together, we get 25. Narrow that down to a single digit, 2 plus 5 is 7. 7 is a spiritual, deep thinker, contemplating, if you will. When you add now your sun and moon being 1 and your Mercury to Pluto being 7, we get 8. And that's your life powerful character in standard numerology, for example. So 8 is fulfillment and abundance. It doesn't have to just be business in the materialistic side. It could be fulfillment in materialism, but also spirituality. Mm. But your essence, soul, and purpose, your higher self, your subconscious, if you will, is the adding now of 1 plus 7 plus 8, which gets 16. 1 plus 6 is 7. So your ESP number, your essence, soul, and purpose is a 7. So you have two 7s in your code, two spiritual numbers, if you will. Mm. So your code is 1787. And with the Chinese year of Earth Rooster, you're intelligent and analytical. So, but you get things in the ether. So you will always be very spiritual. So your transformation, because religion and spirituality, if the viewers understand, it goes hand in hand. It doesn't need to be segregated. We've been taught to divide and conquer, if you will. But you've learned, you've just ascended to see the truths, being a clergy, to where you are now in terms of helping people. So that's your code, if you will, 1787. If you remember, we went through it quite a few months back, but does that sort of rekindle some things?
It does. It does.
So where you are at now is also in 2021 in a 6 year. So you're pivoting a little bit, getting things through, and you're leading even more so into your spiritual year come the 5th of September 2021. So you will find in the next few months that your true essence of that spirituality will start to be shining even more. And that goes with this, as you said, the seasons, if you will. And that's what the biorhythms are. So your being a clergy for good over was about 20, 25 years, roughly.
That's how long ago it was. I don't actually identify with that anymore. I say in Australia that I kind of grew, like it just kept growing. One of my favorite phrases that I kind of kept from Christianity is the priesthood of all believers, which is that everybody is clergy. Everybody's a priest. We're all holy. We're all powerful. We're all capable. We're all connected. We all have the same abilities. It was my, when I was clergy, when I held that mantle, I was constantly saying to people, there's no difference between you and I, except, you know, 8 years of education and study. And yeah, but from a fundamental point of view, all of us are called to love. All of us are called to forgive. All of us are called to create the goodness and the light that we want to see in the world. All of us are equally responsible for that. And somewhere in the hierarchy, at least of the Christian religion, we got set up to clergy are meant to do that more than other people. Clergy have a special thing that they can be more loving, more forgiving. No, they're just like people because everybody's people. And this is true of imams. This is true of priests and rabbis. Doesn't matter who the religious leader are. They're no different than anybody else.
I totally agree. And again, very well said. So for the viewers and the listeners, like, because your background is it's great, because obviously the law of attraction, my niche is in the spirituality of religion, if you will. And and the whole idea is to not allow someone to overpower you. So we are in a spiritual warfare of light and dark souls. People have free will to ascend. It's got nothing really to do with religion or spirituality, because you can even have dark elements of people in the spiritual niche movement saying, well, I'm better than you, or you're better than me. It's no different from the religious side, or what type of astrology is better. It's all got to do with empowering us within, just like what you mentioned. And people have this thing of that fear and this confusion. A lot of confusion of magic in people, and people misinterpret the word magic, and they're saying they're doing black magic on me, or they're doing, or there's white magic. I say to people, it's not about black magic or white magic or natural or green. Synchronicity is in the ether. It's up to our intention and what our thoughts are on ourselves and what the agenda is. Are we operating from a good agenda or a bad towards humanity? We are going to manifest that synchronicity. So it's up to us to discern, but more importantly, it's our intention. So people misinterpret this term of magic. So then, I don't know if you know this, Australia's number one per capita on the planet to do black magic to people. And it stems from jealousy and fear and greed. It's stupid. It is stupidity, because why go to that extreme to try to do this to people? The whole idea is to protect ourselves. To, like you said, love, we can forgive, but if people are not willing and they're stuck in a certain element, you have to also let go, to forgive and let go, because in elevation, we have an ascension. And if some people are not willing to change, you forgive, you let go, you move on, you find the right spiritual people along our journey, because the earth is in a battle of light and dark. And I believe some are still going to be stuck in that dark element. And we need to collaborate with the light workers to lift that ascension level, to then maybe get specks of dark light into that darkness of people to wake up. What's happening is, I believe we're at a cusp, and you mentioned just prior to this call, a lot of people are accelerating their teaching right now, the light workers, because they feel it's necessary. And I agree with you, because people, especially in these last 2 years of what's happened on this on earth, if you see it, all religions were locked down. It doesn't matter what the color creed was. So I understand conspiracy theory. I understand the agenda behind. The whole idea is, irrespective of what that's going on, were people looking within? That is the key. And that's why I feel light workers now are more important to get their message out, because everyone's, like you said, he's got the God within, the gift within. So we need to elevate and then collaborate with people that really want to help humanity, not from people that unfortunately are stuck in that element, because that element, as you said, it's going.
So I've said to you before that I've got a Sagittarius moon in the 12th house, and for students of astrology, I'm very excited about our current blood moon lunar eclipse that we're experiencing at the moment. I run towards people that other people want to flee from. And by that, I mean, I want the dark people. I want them, because they are no more dark than you and I. We all are equally dark and light, and we choose moment to moment which we're proceeding. And again, blasphemy, I suppose, but it's like, the darkest people are sometimes the easiest to turn on and get their light shining really bright, even better than somebody that's kind of doing a normal, ordinary life who thinks that they're okay, because there's such in powerful darkness, because we're in a world of polarity. And, you know, I can't explain in the physics terms the way that somebody like Greg Braden can, but to have great darkness, you also have the possibility of great lightness. They exist together. And so
They do.
Yeah. And so the more we bring in light, the more we have to protect ourselves from ourselves in the darkness. Because, and that was one of the, that's one of actually the trainings in seminary that was really helpful, is how to prepare yourself to hold the light, to bring it forward. That energy is very strong and very powerful.
That's a very important, I agree. And in terms of that polarity, the whole idea is to get to singularity. But again, people have to get this artificial intelligence out of their head. I'm talking about natural. But you mentioned, like, because we all have light and dark, and we can take on some, because if we're light, as you said, we've got to protect that light. Sometimes we get this, the darks comes in, and we have our moments, because everything is cyclical when we're going in our biorhythms. So the fact that you want to, some people do, some people don't, but everyone's got their gift, and your gift is part of that as well, to see the dark, to then help transform, if you will.
And hold that,
so that's an important word right there that you just mentioned, in alchemy. Again, people may misinterpret that, saying, oh, they're doing black magic because it's alchemy. See, again, that is the whole idea of religion, is sometimes, unfortunately, keeping wisdom and prayers for themselves to control and keep people in fear, because alchemy is done in both religion and spirituality.
And
they know that they're doing it in the religion movement. They know that they're doing it. The whole idea is we have all the right to do alchemy, to transform ourselves towards singularity, because as you said, we're all in polarity. We're in an earth of polarity. Yeah. Can you touch a little bit on the alchemy? Because it's very important.
I think it... I fundamentally align with the teaching that Esther and Jerry Hicks have brought to the world through the teachings of Abraham, which is that we came for joy. We came to experience joy, and there's no requirement for suffering in this world. There is a requirement for contrast. That's the polarity of we need dark to understand light. We need sad to understand joy. And we need fear to understand liberation, perhaps. The alchemy that we're all looking for is how each of us fundamentally wants to be happy, wants to feel free, wants those that what Esther calls the number one vibration, the highest frequency that we know in feeling states, which is what we're all after, is joy, is empowerment, is appreciation and gratitude, that lovely warm feeling is, there's another one that I'm forgetting at the moment, because those I've told you my favorite ones. So we want joy, and we want freedom, and we want empowerment. And the way that we get that is by transforming what we came into this world with. And this is where we get into thoughts create reality. And that's something that all religions teach. And we somehow it got, you know, there's lots of different pathways in history for how we lost our ability to understand that our thoughts create reality. And the 19th and 20th century saw many, many, many great teachers explaining it. And even coming up in America, we learned it in school, but most people don't actually believe it. There's limitations on how our thoughts create reality. And lots of people know the Japanese scientist doctor, I never can pronounce his
Emoto.
Name.
Emoto.
Thank you, Emoto, who was able to demonstrate to us that when you pray over water, when you say nice words over water, that the structure of that water changes and it matches human DNA. And it reflects joy. And if you say angry, hateful words, it moved into ugly, yucky formations. And lots of people know about his work and they go, isn't that cool? And yes, that makes sense. And then they forget that, you know, full moon is a perfect time to think about it. We are mostly water beings.
Exactly.
If you say a nice word to me, my body is going to change. And if you say a mean word to me, my body is going to change. And that's the same for all of us.
It's beautifully said. And I mean, the full moon and new moon, we are all run by different zodiac signs as well, with the planets, if you will. But at the end of the day, we're 70% water, the mind's 90%, could be 94, give or take. But the whole idea is, those planets are emitting a frequency and energy on us. When we know our codes, we know a bit of a biorhythm. But more importantly, Emoto shows structure in water. And those change. So it's sacred geometry. And our cells have a sacred geometry. So someone is saying some words to us they're thinking wrong thoughts. Even a person thinking wrong thought to someone can affect the health of someone.
Yeah.
And
conversely is why prayer works.
Exactly. And prayer works. Like if I'm saying I'm a Christian, but the Hindu is saying, this Hindu prayer works, but the Christian didn't, or the Buddhist one and the Muslim didn't, or the person from the Jew religion didn't, but this one Hindu fixed it. Which one's better? It's got to do with our belief, and spontaneous remission happen because prayer is a frequency. It doesn't know what the religion is.
Yeah.
Just like we all bleed the same and we're all skeletons. When we're all past, the skeleton's a skeleton. But the whole idea is the confusion in people for misinterpreting certain attributes of the masculine, feminine energies from the planets. And people are laboring wrong because they're stuck in wrong dogmas of not just religion, but also silliness in spirituality. The whole idea is you have a gift, I have a gift, we all have gifts like you touched on before, and we should be working hard on our spirituality, just like we learn to walk and learn to ride a bike and learn to drive a car, to help empower humanity to really increase their vibrational level. And each has the free will, but if someone imposes their free will on another to saying, no, don't do that, or you're evil, or they label you wrong because of silliness, that is wrong, because what's happening is they're actually doing their own unjust to themselves, and by portraying wrong words to the person, they're blocking the person's creativity and joy. And humanity doesn't need to do that right now. We need to be getting smarter, getting lighter, and pushing forward, not pushing forward, moving forward to our ascension level. And the earth knows how to self-correct. Earth doesn't care about humans. It'll always self-correct. Humans really need to do the work, the spiritual work. And I've been doing this for a long time, and so have you, because it's not just spirituality. You were learning as a clergy, and you looked within, and as your code as a 1787 gives you the accolade. You don't need a certificate behind you. You've done the school of hard knocks in your transformation, and that is the best.
Let me tell you, I have done the school of hard knocks, and I very much want people to learn how not to do the school of hard knocks, how to do transformation that's fun and quick and so much simpler than we're making it.
Beautiful. And I know you will have your own links coming soon as well with your website, but people can obviously, they'll find me on my channel if they come through to me and they want to inquire, I'll send them through to you. They're on your LinkedIn profile, which I can put up for the time being.
Yes.
And then later on, I can add the link as well to your other sites or whatever you feel you like to share. So moving forward, like, you know, we're in 2021 now. We're in May. You're in your 6 year and 6 month right now. So you're pivoting, getting things going, getting on top of things. And you're getting on top of things spiritually come the next 3 months. It'll be your 7 year, if you will. For the listeners and the viewers, from your school of hard knocks, what are some pearls of wisdom you can enlighten some of the listeners and viewers with?
So many of the things that I can say, I'm going to guess that listeners on a Law of Attraction network already know, but it is true that we can't get it wrong. So I've moved past the what's right and wrong, and nothing's right or wrong. We actually created all of it, and everything is what it is. And there's enough. The universe is big enough for all the variations, and all the light and all the dark. We've got it all, and we create it all. And the great news about that, I think one of the greatest things for people that are learning about Law of Attraction or working with it is that the power that comes from when something bad happens to you, because this is where Law of Attraction often hits the wall. People say, well, I didn't ask for that. I didn't create that. I didn't want that to happen in my life. Why is this horrible thing happening to me? And We're missing this piece of, if you create a horrible thing that's happening to you and you're in charge of it, you get to change it. You have the power to create something different. If a horrible thing is happening to you and you have no power to do anything about it, if it's just shit happens, if God just decides something is going to happen in your life and it's to test you or you have to just deal with it, well, then you've got a lot of stuff coming at you that you're just dealing with. If you're the creator of everything good and bad, the good news is the thing that we often have overlooked sharing, which is this bad thing happening to you, something in your vibration attracted it to you. And if you don't like it, then you can literally change your thoughts, your perspective, and way of coming at it, and watch your external reality change. The new paradigm, as Nick Bro teaches, external reality does not apply. We create from the inside out. We have that ability to do. And as you said before, it's that good intention setting, good thoughts. My company is Good Lux, and our tagline is take a step in the light direction.
Oh, very nice.
Whatever you're doing next, every step you take to the light, in the light, for the light, with the light. And so I'm interested in helping people expand their goodness, their light, leverage that as much as they can, and create from the inside out everything that they want to do, be, or have.
Very, very nicely said. And also in the light, I recall back in the Celestine prophecy in the movie, and you mentioned we've got to try to hold the light. And there's a scene where they become invisible to the military because they're holding the light, and they're saying, no, focus your light. Don't. But sometimes that fear kicks in and then we lose the aura or the protective barrier. But I totally agree with Ian, because, you know, there's the saying, as above, so below, as within, so without.
Yes.
Now, these occult teachings, they can either be taught from, you know, people of the darker cult or the lighter cult. People have free will in the intention, but no one should lose the fact that the planets are emitting frequencies and energies on us. Mm. So that's why at the quantum level, we're affected by the energies of the planets, which is derived of how I do my code. But also at the quantum level, just like what you said in terms of the good thoughts. So I love that little tagline you said, a step in the light direction. Perfect. Simple, straight to the point, and it's right. So it's right that you're doing it light.
yes and no, because part of it is that there's nothing wrong with dark. You know, that darkness has got its purpose. That's, you know, the work of Matthias Di Stefano. He's got that lovely series on Gaia, the Gaia Network, called Initiation.
I've come across him on YouTube Reels.
So to me, he's like, if anybody needs to know about understanding the dimensions of the world, he's a great introduction to the different dimensions. I got up to the 10th dimension and have to go back and watch a little bit more to get it again. But as he talks about in the other dimensions, you know, it's the light and the dark are friends. And they're like, oh, you take point on this one, I'll take point on that one. It's in this world that that we have that friction, as you talked about, the battle. And it's it's a game. It's fun. It's, you know, we play back and forth and we compete. And it's those two things that we need. We need dark and light. And I'm saying this rather glibly at the moment. Let me tell you what, I fought this for decades going, whose idea was this? This planet of polarity, this is a dumb idea. Surely we can make something better than this. When I learned law of attraction, I thought, great, let's get rid of polarity. Let's have a world where we don't have to do this whole death and dying thing. We don't have to have pain and suffering. Let's not have misery anymore. Let's do away with that. I'm Sagittarius rising. I want joy. I want fun. I want ease. And in a very empowering sort of way. And through learning law of attraction, and as I got deeper into that, really the mechanics, quantum mechanics of how this all works, and I finally had to come to accept through people like Greg Braden and Bruce Lipton and Joe Dispenza did a lot to teach me, and Matthias DiStefano. I know I'm throwing a lot of names out, so people write them down and go find these people because they're wonderful teachers. But is that we, I nearly even just derailed myself.
The quantum level, like in terms of the quantum mechanics.
Yes. And what was I saying just before that? I want ease. Oh, yes. I want to do away with polarity. See, I just want to block it out.
Because your mind is going really deep in terms of those.
I don't even want to have polarity, but I had to come to accept that this is a world of polarity and why that's important. And I think it's one of for me, it was one of the most challenging concepts, but I think it is because we work in duality, male and female, dark and light, good and bad, right and wrong. And we want it to be that. We want things to be one or the other.
But also in our chromosomes, 23 from the father, 23 from the mother, our masculine and feminine energies from the sun and moon merge into our identity number. So that's how we get that first number. So that's how we're maneuvering, if you will, with the biorhythms. So when people really start looking within and don't get distracted too much from, because I understand conspiracy theory and the music industry and the movie industry and social media and what have you, everyone has sort of their own agenda. But when people get out of that ego or that control, if you really look within, agenda doesn't, it's not really about that. It's just about, like, as you said, the game, because we are in a game and it's our free will to play the game of, like you're saying, moving forward and working on our spirituality or be stuck in that, on the narrative of what's been thrown at us subconsciously from the distractions, if you will. So we imagine like a group of people, and then, and as humanity rises in consciousness, we're playing a game where it's beautiful. We're creating, we're adding value. Earth is metamorphosizing in a much more technological level, not because it's been done from the powers that be, it's been done from us individuals because we have the free will. As you're saying, the polarity, you know, the masculine and feminine energies in each individual embraces in that identity to maneuver. And that's how we mold our Picasso. And that's like what you're doing in molding your Picasso right now in terms of all the teachings you've done, because, you know, you're going to be a great spiritual teacher, Catherine, especially because the School of Hard Knocks is the best university. It really is. And to live through that and to maneuver, and then like what I'm doing, I'm like the astrology from Vedic, Sabian, Greek, Hellenistic, Indian, and merging all that into an ESP code. I'm trying to simplify teachings of spirituality to then deliver to people. It's not easy to do because we're churning and chipping away and molding it even better. And that's what you're doing, because you really want to help people, as you said, fast, not go through the School of Hard Knocks. And that's what a lot of the spiritual teachers are doing right now. And as you're saying, churning out their courses and their information and what have you. So,
and needing to do it in a framework that people can hear, because a lot of law of attraction never even gets into people's awareness because they don't have the framework for it. And what I'm interested in is helping people make those connections. If they're Christian, if they're Muslim, if they're Jewish, they can make those connections with how they can create, and they can keep their religion and they can keep their traditions, and they can live into what I believe is the fullness of those traditions. And they can love as big as their gods and their teachers have invited them to do. They can forgive in a way that heals this planet. They can be a part of that from their own. Like, I don't have, people want to be in their religion? Absolutely. That's great. It's got lots of cultural richness and wonderful ceremony and practices that really can help connect people. And there's lots of people on this planet who have not felt connected to a religion. In Australia, it's one of the things that I learned very quickly when I got here was, or thought was odd, was like, where are all the public spaces for people to talk about emotion? And I, for the first time in my life, realized, oh, that's what church does. And Indigenous cultures the world over know the importance of our connection to land and planets and lights and each other and animals and trees, all of that, being able to deal with conflict and disappointments and survival and all the massive transitions in life with birth and growing up and marriages and deaths. That was the realm of the religious leader, the shaman that we're now seeing come back again. There's always been those people that have held the space for our spirit and allowed us to practice things to strengthen our spirit, just like we teach ourselves to strengthen our bodies and our minds. I just happen to have an affinity for the health of the spirit, which I believe infuses the health of everything else with us. But it's the more that we can dissolve those barriers of can't get it wrong, that, you know, can't get it wrong because you never get it done is one of the things that Abraham says, because we are infinite beings. This is one lifetime of many lifetimes, of many universes. You know, that, yeah, we'll get into parallel universes and all the rest of it. But even if you think, if you're one of the people on the planet, if you're listening to this and you're one of the people on the planet thinks this is your only lifetime and something's going to happen to you after you die, and you might be afraid of that or you might not. The thing that I'm interested in is what makes this life worth living for you? If this is the only one you've got, how do you create as much satisfaction and richness and clarity and joy and, you know, the best? How do you get the best out of this life? If this is the only one you're ever going to have, how do you make that work for you?
A very, very interesting point, Aslanta. And you mentioned if religions grab that spiritual teaching, like some of what you're doing, and live in fullness, that's a holistic approach, which is, I agree. And you're right, like, you know, because like I've spoken of reincarnation. Of course there's reincarnation. There's been proof with the children, 3, 4, 5 years old, knowing stuff that's, we all know that it's there. It's been taken out of certain texts. But irrespective of that and saying, oh, that's blasphemy, and we've got to really look within. Okay, but like what you said, how do we fulfill and live a holistic life now in this lifetime?
Yeah.
It's beautifully said. Those two points that you've just said in terms of fullness and how do we maximize this life in this lifetime, that comes from being creative, letting go of certain dogmas and fears, if you will, and fighting through the polarity, because I understand there is light and dark. No one's perfect. And then like what I say, elevate to collaborate. So you've said some really good words in this interview, Catherine, like trigger words that are great, because spell and words are spelling. Some people are hypnotically feared, stop after certain words because it's embedded in the subconscious.
Yeah.
Some get happy over certain words. Mm-hmm. So we got to work through that, because I don't understand, we're all under a spell. It is like the game, but play it with good intention and understanding to help fellow mankind. And when you let go of those fear barriers, you become a creative genius. You become limitless. And I want for people to be like that, like just like what I'm teaching with the code and you're teaching with your modalities, in terms of as fast as we can. And, you know, and as whilst we're learning at the same time, because I say I'm a teacher, but I'm a learner as well. You know, I'm learning from you.
Yeah, that's how it is. Everybody's a teacher and everybody's a student. We're all both all the time.
100%. 100% agree. So once again, thank you. It's the 26th of May, 2021 here. It's about 9:05 p.m. and as the full moon's coming in as we're manifesting this great talk. Love that I came and met you a few months back and we're rekindling again. And this interview is going to be really great for the viewers and the listeners to empower and give them some peace of mind. More than anything. So once again, Catherine Chrisman from Sydney, Australia, just like myself, thank you for imparting your wisdom.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Lovely to talk with you, Stanley.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Please join us every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern. Go to loaradionetwork.com/Stan-Lee. To get show access information. Have a great week.